Happy Wednesday, Rory. Ready, steady, go. Hello, hello, hello. Oh. Happy Wednesday.
It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Guess what I'm thankful for?
What?
Just you.
I'm grateful for you. Thankful for this 10:50 p.m. at night. What did we do, Rory? What did we do to our lives? Do you ever think about that?
No, yeah, all the time. I didn't think about that question. I'm going to be up till 2 a.m.
Does everybody else overextend themselves, or is it just our specific family?
I don't know. I'm bad at time management. But I like what I accomplish in the times I work with on it.
I know. But why do we do this? We bite off more than... It's not more than what we can do. We just bite off a lot, and it always...
Let me tell you about biting off more than you can
chew. The same
chew.
Time. What?
Let me tell you about that.
Okay.
I've taken on a task that was way more than I could chew, aka the shop, which will be opening soon.
December 1st. It's in less than a week.
I fucking did it, dude. That's why I'm home late. That's why I'm going to be up till 2, because it's done. Like, it's done-ish. Now it's just got to get clean.
It's final push time. You need a push present. You know, in pregnancy, that women get a push present, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of this, I think you deserve
a
present. I
don't know what a push present is.
I think Bronson deserves a present. Indy deserves a present. I deserve a present for just dealing with all of your shenanigans.
True.
So I deserve a
biting off more than
present.
I can chew was also falling into this new world that I'm being subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
I did Kana.
I know.
And I'm still processing. It's been, what, 3 days?
Yes.
2 days.
I don't think that we're going to talk about it.
No.
Because it's such a, it's like worthy of its own thing.
Look, here's the thing. We tried this once before.
Oh, yeah.
This exact intro.
Like Rory and I.
I messed it up because it was nonsense. We listened back. It was nonsense.
Well,
so
you said it's been 72 hours. Bronson and Rory went and did Kana. It's another plant medicine. It's a heart opener. It's very grounding. And last week on the little update, they were like, we'll talk about it. And I am not kidding you. When they came home, it was great to hear from them. I was so excited to hear from them. But neither one of them made an ounce of sense. I was like, what? I'm confused. I don't know. And they're like, I don't know either. I don't know. And I understand this because I've done that. There's an integration part and a processing part that is very, very important. You need to like process.
Yeah, I'm processing. I'm feeling clearer though. Like today, I'm starting to kind of piece some things together. I'm like,
Well, you know what's weird? Why? It's crazy. It's like biologically impossible that you feel clearer because you've not had nicotine.
I know. Like, I quit nicotine.
Cold turkey on a whim, not even a thought to it after the Kana. You were like, I'll never do this again.
Yeah.
So you really are not feeling like any side effects?
No, I had my first like kind of fit where I kind of felt it today, but I microdosed and it went away.
That's weird, man.
Dude,
because
the plants
it's been
are working.
15 years straight, right? 15 years?
There was a little break. There was like a 3-year break.
That's why I'm saying it's biologically like impossible that you're not really like hurting, but you're fine. You're like trucking along, doing all the things.
Yeah, I got a little cranky. That's not that bad though.
Okay.
But yeah, I've bitten off more than I can chew this month alone than I've ever bitten or chewed.
You seem quite delightful though.
Like I said, I like the way I spend the time that I'm usually wasting.
Maybe this is your pace. Maybe this is your pace. Maybe you're a doer in life.
Like
a doer and a mover and a shaker and just pile it all.
Don't tell me what time to be there. I'll be there and it'll get done, dog.
Is this why we're doing our podcast that's set to air on Wednesdays at 10:50 at night on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
If people like, if we had to work with like real people, like people who actually do this for a living, which we do,
mm-hmm.
but like who live on a schedule, we would not thrive.
Yeah, well,
It's just the truth. I just know that about myself. Like a realization I know about myself is that if I had to live a normal life with a 9-to-5 job, I would rather live in a box. I'd rather be homeless.
Yeah. I've done it. It did not fill my cup.
Homelessness?
Both. I've done both.
You lived in a bomb shelter.
Dude, the bomb shelter was better than the first place I lived.
A greenhouse.
Yeah, that was the worst shit of my life.
If the shit hits the fan, don't choose a greenhouse.
It wasn't a greenhouse. It kind of was.
It was literally a glass house.
It was a glass house.
Which is like a greenhouse.
In the winter with no glass.
Okay, let's talk about me.
Yeah.
So my life last week, I was like wobbly, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week, I was like, I'm going to double down. I'm going to do my routine. I'm going to get on it because I know that that's the way. And then here's what happened. I did all my things, my bells, whistles, got serious about my meditation and got intentional. And all it did was put a red hot spotlight on the fact that I am not well. I am not well. 2020 has done me in. It's happening late to me. It happened to everyone like in like May. Like this is me now. It's just hitting me now. Mm-hmm. I feel overwhelmed. I feel busy. I feel like it's a lot. I feel like everything's a lot right now. And I don't know why it's hitting me right now. I'm like a later gator. It's happening late. But it's hard. I don't know.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at later gator.
It's a later gator. I don't know. I don't know what is happening. But something magical happened.
What?
Because it is 2020 and I'm trying to virtual school one kid, one older boys want to date a 12-year-old. Like there's like so many issues, three kids, three different schools, starting an online shop of my own. We have a big online shop, Bronson, mm-hmm. Lonely Ghost, and then mm-hmm. starting a brick and mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a solution to a problem I have been having my whole life because I couldn't do it all. I couldn't do all the things. This week when I was like, okay, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to do my routine. I'm going to do the things that make me feel good. Mm-hmm. I had the best idea of my life.
What did you do?
I can't talk about it on the podcast, but you know. But I'm telling them.
You're dangling the carrot right now?
I'm dangling the carrot because this is something, like, I think that everything happens for a reason. I think I was supposed to get thrown so far off kilter to come up with this solution. It is an everyday solution for an everyday woman.
I've shown people.
Problem. You have?
I've given it to 4 people.
What did they say? Did they like it?
Yes.
Yes?
There were secret people.
They were, everything is so secretive. This product is secretive.
I know.
Our life is secretive. There's secret things in the shop that's opening on
Oh my God.
Tuesday.
We really do just fly under the guise of nothingness. We're secret people.
Well, maybe this is why our life hasn't been present on the podcast because it's just like everything that we're doing is like future-ish and we can't blow the cover. It's a good surprise. But I will tell the listeners, this is a big deal. Like this is like big. I love it. Like I'm proud of it. I'm going to release this. I hope in January. Do you think that I could do it in January? What's with our time frames? Why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know.
I think it should be a January 1st thing. I started the podcast January 1st. I think I should release this January 1st.
Yeah. Weren't you just talking about like gifting ourselves?
Gifting ourselves what?
I don't know. You said like Indy needs a gift. I need a gift.
Oh, a push present.
A push present.
We all need a push present. We've been pushing a lot.
This will be your push present.
What? My own product I have to work hard on?
Yeah.
That is more work.
Feel good about it.
That's the problem is there's too much work in my life. I need a little bit of fun time. But anyway, I'm about to do what Rory just did, a Kana retreat, which is very unusual because this was on the books for me weeks ago. And Rory kind of went on a whim.
Yeah, mine just fell in my lap.
And so you did it before me, but I'm going to do it soon. So we will get together. We will talk to you all who are curious. We're going to do a little...
Are you going alone?
I think Bronson might come with me.
I hope he does.
Why not? Why?
Because, you'll see. But if you got to spend it with a person that you already love, oh my God. It's going to be magical. I fell in love with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that.
Are you going to get into that?
Of course I'm going to
You've decided to do that?
Yes.
You have grown a pair of cojones, Rory.
Yeah.
Truth serum, man.
Truth. It's, I think that's like the stuff that the FBI gives bad people or something. It, you can't, there's nothing you would lie about.
And it's just natural. It's a plant from the ground?
Yes.
Nothing weird?
Well, there's nothing a whole weird.
It's
lot
not
of
psychedelic.
Weird.
It's not anything. It's not even illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
It's totally. That's,
I did illegal things with it.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, so this week on the show, we have Kenny Holland.
I fucking love Kenny.
Same. If you guys don't know, Kenny is a bit famous. And it's kind of a reoccurring topic of our conversation is fame in this day and age and how weird and finicky that is, man. The one thing that I do know, I don't want it. I don't think I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for my loved ones. I think it's a little prison of your own. Like, it's a little.
I would want it, but on my terms.
No, I don't think anyone. I think if I ever got the opportunity to like interview Justin Bieber, he would be like, it's the worst thing of my life.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun. But like, it'd be cool if you were.
Even like the small, like Utah famous people. It's a weird life. Even if it's a small scale, it's still a weird life. I don't think I wish it upon anyone.
I saw him have like a celebrity-ish moment, like a Utah celebrity moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was gut-wrenching to watch because he handled it like a boss.
He's great at it.
Yes. And it was hard to watch the other people.
Oh.
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, it's so hard. But he's such a, I just like him. He's such a good person. I'm excited for you guys to get to know him, hear his story. For all like the Utah Mormons, he was the lead in Saturday's Warriors. Like, that's the reason that my mom has six brothers and sisters, because every time my grandma saw this roadshow play, she would get pregnant within 3 weeks after. That is why. Did you know that that's really why?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. That's, I owe crazy. My family to this Mormon play, and he's the lead. And he does singing, songwriting. You'll hear all about it, but we love him. We have a new sponsor, Truebill. Excited about that one.
Truebill.
And then.
It's our dad's name.
You guys have got to go to the store on December 1st. It's a Tuesday. Grand opening.
Yeah.
Wear a mask. Tuesday. We're all COVID friendly. You might have to wait in a line. Only a few people are allowed in at a time. I mean, that's the best case scenario, that there's a line. Oh my goodness.
Mm. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Do you want to talk about the secret?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what.
Well, there's
we might
a
have to take this part out.
There's a secret. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
We will not say any more.
Don't say
Bronson's
anything.
Bronson's going to be so mad. Okay. Love you. See you later. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Wake Up with Wesley. I'm your host, Wesley, and people of the world, I'm sitting with Kenny Holland. Kenny, hi!
Hey, what's up?
Hi! I'm so happy you're here.
Me too. Honestly, I was very grateful that you asked me to be here.
Oh, why on earth? I'm grateful you're here. Like, I think we got to tell people how we know each other.
Yeah.
You know, should we start with that?
Yeah.
Or should we start with like the fact that you're famous?
aspiring to inspire people on a large scale.
Large scale. Okay, so let's go there. So Kenny is a musician.
Mm-hmm.
He's famous. He's on YouTube. Famous mm-hmm. YouTuber. Famous Instagrammer. You're a movie star. But I think your bread and butter is obviously your musical abilities. You're a singer, songwriter, performer. You're brilliant.
Thank you.
You really are.
Thank you.
But just, when was it? 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Has it only been that long with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met him 3 weeks ago. He asked Zuri, my daughter, to open for his new album release, Dolphins. So you just released an album.
Correct. Yep.
It's so good. I love it. I've actually been listening to it all morning.
Good.
I can prep.
Inspiring.
Yes. Yeah. So he asked Zuri to open for his show. And I was like, oh, who is this kid? Checked him out. I'm like, oh, he's a big deal. And then we went to the concert, and that is when I realized you were a famous person. I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is a big deal. And people are obsessed with you.
Man, that's weird to hear, honestly, but it's cool and I'm grateful.
You're not used to it by now?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever be used to that either.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird, weird life, to be quite honest. But I think you handle it really well. You seem really humble. But I kind of, first of all, how did you find Zuri? This is my first question. I have real questions here about my own personal life. How did you find Zuri?
Well, I've known about Lonely Ghost and that you guys' whole thing for a while. It was my good friend Jess, who you now know, mm-hmm. who actually was like, have you heard of this young girl? She's like 12. She's amazing. She'd be perfect to open for you.
That's
for the show.
How?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I didn't make the connection with Cody. Shout out to Cody Barker. he knows you guys too. And, mm-hmm. and then it just all started to kind of connect. And
you were here and you knew we were here. And mm-hmm. Zuri had just done her first show like 2 weeks before you hit me up on Instagram DMs. You're mm-hmm. like, hey, would Zuri want to like sing? Would she want to open for the show? And I was like, Zoo, do you want to sing for this guy? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, are you sure? He's kind of a big deal. And she's like, yeah, I want to. It's no big deal. Yeah. So you kind of took her under your wing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I kind of fell in love with you a little bit at the concert because you were so kind. You have the kindest soul. You were so attentive to her and it was your day. And that right there, I was like, oh, he's really going out of his way to make her feel like seen and valued. And she only did 4 songs and it was your day and you like gave her a little room. And I was like, this guy's the best. He's the best guy. And then after you offered, you were like, I want to work with her. I think that there's something there. And this is when my kind of infatuation with you, like I thought you were cool and I thought you were kind. This is when you changed for me. So we went to your studio.
Mm-hmm.
We sat in that room for how many hours? Like 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
hours?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Kenny write a song from, like, there was not a beat. There was not a note. And I watched him make a song from scratch. Lyrics, words, chorus, every single sound imaginable. Like, and he pulled it out of his brain. I've never seen anyone do anything like what you did. Like, it was like watching, you know, A Beautiful Mind? Where you, like, you watch these mathematicians and it just doesn't make sense. But mm-hmm. there are people in this world like you who are genius at what they do. And I think that you are genius at what you do. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how you do it.
That is so kind. Such a compliment. Thank you so much. And yeah, that's something that I've been thinking a lot about recently is what I've been blessed with, honestly,
mm-hmm.
and what I've been given. And your assistant, Devin, mm-hmm. she kind of gave me an intro of what you do on the show and stuff like that. And she said, just think about your waking up moment or mm-hmm. something like that. And that's where we can kind of build off of and stuff like that. And I've been thinking a lot about that because I feel like me personally, I'm always waking up continually. Growing and waking up in a different way as I you know progress and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but I've had this kind of real wake up moment very recently since you've even asked me to be on the show.
Really?
Yeah, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit off the air, but it's this idea that the kind things that you're saying about me.
Yeah,
I've started to let them run my purpose, and instead of taking what I've been giving to give back and to give to people and to inspire people, I feel like I've been in this space for a long time of doing things for myself and wanting people to see this genius that you're describing instead of giving people what they need to help them and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's been about you for a long time because let's go back a little bit because this started for you. You were a kid. How old were you when this really popped off?
When it popped off, I was like 18. But I had been grinding, working hard for 4 years prior to that. So I started performing when I was 14.
And that is young.
Yeah.
And you had attention that early on. You really did. Like, people knew of you.
Yeah. And I was kind of building like a local following. I'm from Arizona. And I was doing shows. My claim to fame is that I would set my keyboard up at frozen yogurt shops around town, play for tips on the weekends.
No, you did not.
Oh, yeah. Any way that I could perform, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I was 16, I started to work with some people who kind of took me under their wing and helped me produce my first original music. And so when I was a sophomore in high school, I had my first album come out, or maybe I was a junior, but, and that was just like the coolest thing. I'm like in high school and I have an album out. Like I was just ecstatic, but, I guess that has something to do with Zuri as well. And the people who have taken me under their wing and saw my potential and stuff like that. It's been going on for a while. I'm 25 now. So I started performing when I was 14. I released my first album when I was 16. And I've just never stopped. And
I've been doing this a decade.
Yeah.
And you're so young.
Yeah.
That is wild to me.
It's crazy.
So what has inspired you to kind of, like what you were saying, kind of project your gifts, your talents, and utilize them to help other people? Like, you did not have to reach out to Zuri. You did not have to do what you've done for her. I think, should we tell people what you're doing with her?
Sure, yeah.
You're like mentoring her. You made a song for her with her. Mm-hmm. Like, you pulled it out of her brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, and you just did this out of the kindness of your own heart. This also, people need to know, like, this costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want me to pay them $10,000 to mm-hmm. do this work. And you're like, I really just think she should come in. I see something in mm-hmm. her. And I'm like, what is this? Who just does this? But after getting to know you, it is this thing. Like, you're in this place or this space of wanting to give back a little bit
mm-hmm.
and utilize the genius that has brought you to where you are and this level of success and fame and notoriety and like people know you.
Yeah.
You're like pouring that out onto other people who you see potential in.
Definitely. Definitely. And you know, the fans that I do have, and I really feel like that's the space where I kind of blew up in, is this kind of innocent young boy mm-hmm. With a desire to do good. And there was a point along the way where it shifted. And I feel like I've been in that space for the last few years of instead of focusing on helping others, kind of focusing on helping myself, if I'm being honest.
In right a negative now. Way or in a positive way, do you feel?
A little bit of both. You know,
really?
Yeah. Growth and learning in many different ways, but some prides and selfishnesses and stuff like that.
This is why. Okay. So there's like an elephant in the room, because you have you ever spoken about why you took such a step back? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but you were like consistently and constantly producing things
mm-hmm.
on YouTube, online, on Instagram, making music, always showing up, doing concerts. And then you kind of went dark.
Yeah, I did.
How long did you go dark for?
Probably the last like 4 years.
There is no one that understands going dark more than me. Like I get you so mm-hmm. much, because I understand that process. It's where the only way to truly move forward is to stop going through the motions mm-hmm. and you get quiet and reclusive and you kind of sit with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves everybody wondering, like, what the hell happened? Where did Kenny go? What are they doing? And it almost creates this hype around you that when you don't want the attention, more people start paying attention because mm-hmm. you're like, where did he go?
Mm-hmm.
So what mm-hmm. were you doing? I get to sneak in right here and talk about The Daily Shifts. So The Daily Shifts is an amazing app that helps you start to shift your life into a more positive direction. It encompasses all the daily practices you need to make a real and substantial positive change in your life into one convenient app that is so incredibly simple and easy to use. So beyond The Daily Shifts app, Doug, the founder and my friend, is offering you guys, my listeners, his Shift My Life Masterclass, which, guys, I'm doing it currently. It's a 75-page workbook that goes extremely in-depth while remaining easy to do. It's just, it's easy to follow along with. Like, it's not like, it doesn't hurt my brain to do this course. Like, my seventh grader could do it. And actually, I think I'm going to have her do it because, shoot, you guys, man, I am in my feelings about it because just a few days ago, I had this major aha moment when I was doing the course. And it goes in depth about like some of the stories we tell ourselves. And I realized I've been telling myself an untrue story since I was 8 years old. And back then I had these huge, crazy teeth on a teeny tiny little itty bitty body. And I was super shy and I moved around a ton and I was always the new kid. And one day at a new school, some kid was like, "Why are you so shy?" And I was like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Oh, it's 'cause your teeth, huh?" And it is just seared into my memory in such a deeply profound way. And ever since that moment, I connected my shyness, which is really just I'm an introvert, to my outwardly appearance, which is just so false. It's not true. Like, I was shy just because I was new and I didn't know anybody. That's the truth. So it's crazy. This workbook is crazy. And I've done a lot of self-work and I'm still finding out more about myself when I do this. So I don't know. I love it. This is only a teeny tiny fraction of what's actually in the masterclass, but I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. And I'm so excited that The Daily Shifts is offering you guys, the Wake Up with Wesley audience, access to their Shift My Life masterclass, which is the 75-page workbook, and access to so much more, plus the Daily Shifts app for only $99. So if you're interested, go to thedailyshifts.com/Wesley for this limited time offer where you save over $900. You guys, get it while it's hot. Now let's get back to the show.
Man, I was honestly trying to find myself and kind of take every step and try every single thing to get back to where I hope I'm getting back to right now, which is a service filled life, mm-hmm. and a life of gratitude. And so a lot happened in those 4 years.
Do you want to share what you can? I always put people on the spot. I'm like, and tell me more.
yeah, that process for me was some spiritual battles and diving into religion. And there was a very serious relationship in the midst of all that, which was actually a marriage.
You're married.
I was, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it's weird. I was just trying everything to get back to that same peace that I had felt living that like service filled life. Mm-hmm. And it took me all sorts of ways and different twists and turns and everything. But, I feel like I tried everything. I did ceremonies in the desert with random people. I went to different churches. I grew up LDS and that's what I know. And so I explored different churches. I changed my lifestyle. But I just always felt like it came back to me and what I want for myself instead of what I could do with what I have to help others.
I get it.
Yeah.
So that's where you are. Like, now it took you 4 years to kind of be like, oh, no, it's not about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It's like you have to get out of your own way.
For sure. For sure.
That's how I feel even doing this podcast, because I'll be real with you. I don't like attention and I don't even like working. Like, I just want to chill. I could chill. I could just be a housewife. I could, mm-hmm. like, we're fine. Mm-hmm. I could just be a mom and that's it. Like, and this is a lot of pressure, a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
Or I guess a lot of ears.
Yep.
And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, I don't necessarily like this, mm-hmm. but I feel a call in me to share my story and to give people a platform like you to share your story. Like, it's bigger than me. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to get out of my own way. Like, it would be self-obsessive of me to be like, I don't want to do it. It's all about me. Da, 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 da. And that's the point that I got to, was like, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of my own way.
Mm-hmm. What were your 4 years kind of like? Oof.
You and I have such similar stories. I swear I attract similar people. It's uh-huh. so crazy to me. But definitely that dark night of the soul. I was also LDS mm-hmm. and fell away from it completely. And if I'm being honest with myself, it had never been mine in the beginning. It was just how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that was a hard, hard thing. And people don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
And realizing that it didn't fit me and I did not fit in that box. So then where would that leave me? How was I going to be a mom? How would I have spirituality without that? I was mm-hmm. so used to that. And then stepping into like my own power and mm-hmm. my own recognizing and just admitting to myself that I do possess gifts. I can do things that other people can't do mm-hmm. and it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
But just like, yeah, getting over myself, I think.
Yeah.
And letting go of past pain in our marriage. We got married so young and we had babies so young and we were so stupid to each other in our early years of marriage. And truly getting over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a healing process. And I too found myself in a ceremony in the jungle. I wonder if we did the same type of ceremony in the jungle. Yours was in the desert. Mine was in the jungle.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went every which way. I was desperate for healing.
Right. Right.
And I really got to a point where everything I was trying kind of gathered and created like a complete circle where I feel like, okay, things came together and I'm feeling whole again.
Mm.
But it took like 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Like it takes a long time.
Absolutely.
So is this why you now, it's been 4 years of you kind of figuring your own shit out.
Yep.
Is this why Dolphins is here and now? Like, is this your first thing stepping into you as a more whole person?
I would say that I might have thought it was, and I'm still trying to discover what exactly it was, but I can definitely say that it was therapy. And releasing some of the things that I've got in my head that I can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And expressing myself and my feelings in a way I tend to, if you listen to my music, you'll learn a lot more about me than by talking to me.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I really feel like. That is so spot on about you. They're so personal. Your songs. Like everyone's curious about you and you really just go listen to your new album.
Yeah.
Like it spills it, mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what you took from it if you say that.
I feel like it was like the dark night of the soul,
mm-hmm.
stepping into who you really are. But to me, this is why I see myself in you, because I don't think that you're changing. I don't think that you're becoming something new.
Mm.
I think that you're going back to who you always were, mm-hmm. and things got really messed up in the middle for you for whatever reason.
Right.
Do you have a why? Do you know exactly what caused the mess up? Because I, looking back, I can see a few, I can pinpoint like, oh, that's where I went wrong. Like I can see it clearly looking back. I had no idea in the moment.
Yeah.
I want to know what kind of tripped you up. Like, where do you feel like you made the wrong turns?
Shoot. We've talked about it a little bit, but I was 19. And had just started to see like some pretty big success and, you know, financially and on social media and all these things. So the work that I had been doing since age 14 at yogurt shops, had been finally starting to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel like it was this idea that I had really made it, coming from being such a big dreamer to having just getting a piece of the dream. It felt like I had it all. And so I ended up moving to Los Angeles and tried to grow my dream and career out there. And I fell into some pits out in LA.
LA is a pit.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. I know that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like it's a black hole.
Yep.
And there's good things about it, of course, just like anything, but it's an intense place, man. And I do feel like there's quite a bit of darkness in LA.
I agree.
And I experienced that firsthand. So I haven't been too open about this in my time, but we're just letting it all fly today because it's waking up with Wesley. So I got out there and a bunch of my friends who were kind of in the same space, social media success and all these things, we had been touring together and everything, and we all kind of like moved out to LA at the same time. And I met a friend of mine who had recently got out of a band or had broken up with his current band, and they had seen a lot of success. And I wanted to, my dream and my goal has always been to be respected as a musician, for people to see the genius that I feel like I really do have.
I saw it. It's there.
And so kind of in this whole theme of selfishness, if you will, I wanted people to love me for my desires, you know, what I wanted them to love me for, mm-hmm. instead of giving them the opportunity to love me for and support me for what they wanted to. And I've thought about this quite a bit, but so I started a band with that friend of mine, and kind of put my solo career on the back burner, the only thing that I had ever known. And we did a bunch of shows together. We released some music. It was just this magical summer. All the while I'm really changing my lifestyle from a pretty conservative upbringing to a LA
party scene,
party life. Yeah. And it was just intoxicating at first and just a fun time. And then we ended up having some differences or whatever, and yet again pride, I believe, got in the way of both of us. And he ended up, I call it my biggest heartbreak ever, because everything that I wanted so much and that I feel like I gave to another person, he basically broke up with me, mm-hmm. and went back to his ex, which
he
was
the
old
band.
The old band. Oh, yeah.
That is seriously heartbreaking.
It was.
Because you gave up everything you had done for you.
Right.
You put all your eggs in this basket.
Exactly. I believed in it so much. I believed in him. I believed in myself. I believed in us. And not only had I put my career in my, like you said, my solo, everything that I had been working on for myself on the back burner, but I also completely changed my lifestyle for this cause.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost... I really do compare it to like a terribly heartbreaking breakup, but I sort of gave my innocence to this project, yeah. and to this individual.
Because you don't get it back. When you know that darkness inside, mm-hmm. of you, you can be different, but it's always there. Mm-hmm. It's still, you can't change your past. It happened.
Right.
And you live with it moving forward.
Right.
And you're young still. You must've been what? 22, 23?
I was like 21. Yeah.
Oh
21.
My gosh.
And, so that just like that, shift in everything, like, kind of sent me on this dark spiral, honestly. And ever since then, it's kind of been that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fighting and chasing and trying and all these different things to, heal and get back to my true self and all these things. And like I said, I'm always still waking up. I'm still kind of searching, honestly, and trying to figure out where I fit in the scheme of things, you know?
and what really is coming next for you. I feel like the joy comes when you can finally get to the point when you like your processes again.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's almost when I feel like I'm like back on track. Like I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the indication to me that I'm like, okay, I'm living this is my dharma. I'm in alignment. Like I can sense myself coming back online in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you felt that recently?
I have. And I'm glad you said that because it made me realize that I have. But through this creative process of making this album, it was so fun and so exhausting and hard, and I didn't even know if it was something I could do because it's something I'd never done before. But I was coming back online through really? The creative process of this album. Definitely. Yeah.
Because I mean, I saw you in that room there. I cannot imagine you doing anything else. And I think people, like, I think I got a sneak peek at like who you really are, right? Like I think people see you on stage and you're the performer. Mm-hmm. Like you're like the front man.
Yeah.
And you get that attention. But like, I see I saw it. Like, that's the craft, the behind the scenes, the stuff that no one sees. Like, the celebration when you find the lyric. Like, that's the stuff that no one sees. I'm like, that's
right.
It.
Yes.
That's the funnest shit ever. It was like a birthday party.
Yeah.
And to see you, I wonder if you've ever watched you do what you did. Like, have you ever filmed it?
Mm-mm.
Because you have to, because you do this thing where you're like, you're making music, like on whatever you do. I don't even know the terms. You freaking make music. It sounds trumpets coming from a piano. I don't know how you do what you do. You were doing the things and you would just close your eyes. You would look up. You'd be like searching for yourself for like the right tone, the right beat, the right music. And then you would smile so big. You would smile before you said it out loud, but you would know it would come to you.
Mm.
It would come to you and you would like laugh to yourself and you would just like mumble it under your breath and it would work. It would click. And I was like, is this how it is for everybody? Because this is what I'm watching.
Yeah.
It was wild.
That's cool.
It was so fun. I think you have to videotape yourself doing this.
Yeah.
And watch yourself in your, that's your gift.
Mm-hmm.
The making of the music.
Right. Right.
It was like the funnest night I've ever had. And it wasn't even about me. It's so fun. I have a question about this because it's something that I'm talking to Zuri a lot about. And I mean, I have a specific feeling on the whole thing. And I think maybe you're the best person to ask this about. But I look at fame because it's touched your life. You've experienced it.
Yes.
I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's amazing for people. And it opens up so many doors and you can be such a light in this world if you choose to use your fame properly, right? Like I see the benefits, but my feelings on fame, like true fame, are that it's like a prison.
Yeah.
Like my prayers at night, because Zuri is on her own thing. I've realized I'm her mom. I can protect her so much, but like her life is her life.
Mm.
I literally pray that she doesn't become famous.
Mm.
Like acknowledged, recognized, that's cool. But like to truly be famous, that scares the living shit out of me. Like you lose your anonymity. You lose your sense of like freedom. I think that fame on a big level is almost like living a life in quarantine.
Mm.
Forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I actually know that I do not want that for the people I love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's shiny and it seems cool to a lot of people. I just don't think it is.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? All right, guys, let's talk Viore. So if you've been listening to my show, you know that like I love Viore workout clothes. They are the best of the best. I've tried them all. I know for a fact they just hit every single box. They are the most comfortable, the most supportive, the best looking clothes ever, and extremely versatile. So I can wear them working out, running, doing yoga. I go grocery shopping in them and I go out to dinner with Bronson. Like, and I feel really, really, really cute and confident when I'm wearing these clothes. They just fit me the best. And this kind of goes across the board. I've been like testing it out. They're like, you know, the sisterhood of the traveling pants where the one pair of pants fit everyone the same, like magically. This is Viore clothing. It does not matter your body shape or type. it fits. It just fits. And the fabric is like this buttery, soft material that gives you support and compression without cutting you off. And we got to talk about the men, because no one has ever done men's athletic wear like Vuori is doing men's athletic. Like, we just need to remember the men, and Vuori did it so right. So it's the same thing for men as it is for women. Versatile, comfortable. It looks like you, like, they look nice. You don't look like you're wearing workout wear, even when you are. And they're supportive for the men. They have thought about our bodies and the anatomies, and just, they've hit every nail on the head. So Vuori is an investment into your happiness. For our listeners, the Wake Up with Wesley crew, they are offering you guys 20% off of your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on planet Earth at VuoriClothing.com/Wesley. So that's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/Wesley. Not only will you receive 20% off of your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. order over $75. And you get free returns too. So go to VuoriClothing.com/Wesley and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Now let's get back to the show.
Dude, that's funny you bring that up. I was having a kind of interesting conversation with someone last night who I kind of had this realization as I was speaking it to them about this very concept. And I kind of came to the conclusion that I feel like fame is an actual drug.
You do?
I do.
Like what? Like what? Like you get a taste of it and then it's never enough?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Really?
And once you have it, once you get that first hit or fix or whatever you want to call it, whenever you start to lose it and you can't get it back, you have zero access to your addiction anymore. So you have no other choice but to figure out what is actually going to bring you joy in life.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's so surface level. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
Yeah.
It's a dopamine hit.
That's what it is.
I never thought about it like that. Holy yeah. shit. It's like you have to match that consistently. And then it is like a drug.
Yes.
Because the more you get, it's never enough. Like you're constantly
yes.
in this race of like one-upping yourself. Like you got it. Like this album has to meet last albums or more.
Exactly. Exactly. And so coming from someone who, I could be pretty honest right now. I don't know how honest I'm going to be, but coming from someone who went dark, and the social media game is all about consistency.
That's the key.
Right. If you stop giving people what they've expected from you, they'll just move on to the next person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming from someone who went dark for so long to the point where the audience has almost lost faith and trust in the source.
Because you're being that ghosty friend.
Exactly.
You literally are ghosting them.
Exactly.
I've done that. Yes, I know what you mean.
Right. So, you know, I have my loyal followers and fan base, and I'm so grateful for them and I love them so much. But the people who I didn't really connect with haven't really stuck around, honestly. And so to go from, this is what made me realize that whole drug thing, is to go from having 40 million views on a video at one point to now posting and getting a few thousand here and there or whatever it may be, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And that's why I look back at that drug concept and be like, that's not what life is about. That's not what the purpose is. That's not what my purpose is. That's not where I'm going to find joy and happiness, even though that's kind of what I've been chasing for these dark 4 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming clean right now. Like I'm an addict, honestly, of that intoxicating praise. And, you know,
people adore you.
Yeah.
Like adored you. You yeah. read the comments and it's like, whoa, there is a deep like love for this guy.
Right. And again, just kind of tying it back to the same theme, that is not, if that's what you're focused on, is when people are praising you versus when they're not, you'll just never be happy. You'll just be constantly in this chaos of trying to figure out how do I get back to where I once was, or something like that.
This is crazy that you're talking about this now, because I have a podcast episode out today where I talk to this girl. Her name's Jordan Younger, and she reads The Daily Stoic. Mm. Have you ever heard of The Daily Stoic?
Mm-mm.
It's about stoicism, and I honestly don't know a lot about it, but she said exactly what you're saying, where there comes a point where you, like, the negative comments, they hurt and your ego reacts, right? Like, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, that person's stupid. They don't get me. Like, you can, like, be like, that's so dumb. I'm not going to accept it. But then when people are so used to praise, especially online and on the internet, your ego also accepts that. Mm-hmm. And it starts to feed your ego.
Right.
And you never want to feed your ego. Like, you got to keep yourself in check. But, like, sometimes I think that we only think about the ego and, like, and negative responses, but it happens with the positivity too. And it's just wild that you're saying this to me right now, because it's like locking in this concept that, like, I cannot live off the praise. If a million people listen and like my show, that's great, but it means nothing about me.
Exactly.
It means nothing about me or my intent, mm-hmm. because I'm doing the same thing I did day one when there was 1,000 listens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the same for me.
Yep.
And honestly, it kind of is freaking me out. The more people that are coming and mm-hmm. listening, I'm finding it harder to be myself.
Oof.
It's making me scared.
Yeah.
Because I almost want to cater to the large group. Like,
right.
like when there's so many people, I have to be palatable for all of them.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm going to start to piss people off pretty soon because I can't be that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have to be me.
And
that's how you feel. I know that's how you feel. Like, at what point do you just start pissing people off to make yourself, you got to live in alignment with who you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
This is wild. So this is, Dolphins was step one for you. Coming back.
Yeah.
Coming back online. Coming back as this newer, more refined version of you.
Yep. Yep.
Has it been well received?
It has been, yeah. I released a single a few months back too. It's called SOS. And something I realized when I released that is I cared far less about the random people giving me praise than I did about the insane number of people that I love and care about in my life who were giving me that support, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, it was kind of a lesson for me, like kind of what we're talking about, but I didn't care about I didn't care how many views it got. I didn't care about anything. But when I got a text from my boy back home, who was like, yeah. bro, you killed this one. I was like, oh
yeah. yeah. It feels so, those are the ones, I feel like that doesn't feed your ego.
Right.
Like those, the love that you share with those people, that feels so good. I do the same thing too. I want to hear it from the people I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate all the others.
Of course.
But it hits different.
It does. It does. So it's been well received, and, you know, it doesn't have the millions of streams. It's not on the radio or anything like that yet, but I can put my stamp on it and be pretty proud of it. And, you know, hopefully be able to help some people, relate to some people who are in their dark soul of the night, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dark night of the soul.
Dark night of the soul.
Dark night. Same words. Mix that up. So I'm so curious to know, where do you think that you're going? Like, what's next? Because you just did this.
Yeah.
It's kind of the start. It's almost like a rebirth for you.
Yeah.
So where do you see your life? Like, what's your perfect, now knowing what you know about yourself and going through what you've been through, it's just, you didn't go wrong. You just made some course corrections.
Yep.
You're getting back into alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see is this more refined version of yourself, this more restored version of yourself?
I think it's kind of boils down to getting back to all of my roots. Remembering why I started this in the first place.
Why did you?
Because I have five sisters. So I was an emotional sophomore in high school, filled with anxieties and I was emotional. I'm an emotional person as a guy, as a human. That's just who I am. And I remember sitting in my sophomore math class watching videos of John Mayer perform live, just getting smacked in the face with inspiration. And I always told myself, if I can sit as a, you know, undiscovered sophomore in high school and be so impacted, just tune out my great math teacher, Mr. Hackworth, because of what John was doing for me in my soul. If I can do that for other people, that's what I want to do.
It started out about others.
Exactly.
Oh, I see you. I get you. Yes. That's why you started.
That's why I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you want.
That's what I want. I want to forget myself and this vain desire to feed my addiction and use what I've been given, which is a lot, for good for other people. I mean, I can honestly say that I feel so blessed, like with so many things, and I feel like there's many people who don't even have a fraction of what I have, whether it's just a family, you know? And so I just want to take all that and drive it forward and inspire and uplift. And, give people hope, and that's what I want to do. And for a long time, I thought that that was measured by the amount of views on the video and the amount of likes on my photos. But I've come to the realization that that literally doesn't matter. And that as I focus on the few people who I can impact, that's what matters. Simple. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
But before you even said all this now, I mean, you make so much more sense to me, but you've been it's one thing to say these words, right? Mm-hmm. But I mentioned it earlier, but like, I see you actually doing what you're saying. Because I saw you take Zuri under your wing out of like the kindness of your own heart. And I also think protection. I think that you see something in her.
Mm-hmm.
And you were young doing this. Am I reaching right here? But I feel like you like want to protect her a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're practicing what you're preaching.
Yeah.
Like for real. You really are. Like no one knows that you're doing this. Now they do.
Mm-hmm.
But like you pulled this little girl in under your wing as an act of service.
Absolutely.
And I think you just see something in her.
Definitely.
But do you want to produce music more for other people as well as yourself?
Mm.
Like, is that something that's in your future? We got to take a little break from the show to talk about money. Yep, money, guys. Managing our money can be hard. Like, most of us never take a course on how to properly manage our finances. And even still, it's easy to fall behind or get overwhelmed by everything and anything money related. But this is why I'm really excited to share an app with you that I've been using lately that makes managing your money a breeze. So it is called Truebill. So Truebill is an all-in-one finance app, and it helps you keep more of your money by wasting less of it. Does that make sense? It's like Truebill works by automatically categorizing your spending. It identifies reoccurring charges, and it even identifies overpriced bills. It helps you lower or even cancel unwanted services right from inside the app itself. Like, you don't have to get out of the app and make a phone call and wait on hold and do all those things. It cancels it in the app for you. It is unbelievable. So after I downloaded the app and I synced all my accounts, which was seamless, the easiest thing ever. I even put all of my credit cards in there. It was easy. Truebill reminded me that I was paying for a Hulu subscription I had completely forgotten about for years. You guys, now it was only $11.99 a month, but it doesn't sound like a lot, but really that's $200-ish a year. And then I had some other ones too. So I had like a lot of those that I just forgot about, like weird iPhone stuff or the Hulu subscription or this weird gym thing I signed up for forever ago. And everything added up together was $1,000 a year, over $1,000 a year I was wasting, and it has been years. Made me sick to my stomach, but I was so happy to get it fixed. So, in fact, the average Truebill user saves over $700 per year because of this amazing service. Like, it is just so worth it. It can do a bunch of other things. It can help you stay organized, and it can help reach your financial goals. They offer a robust budgeting tool, and it takes all the pain out of tracking expenses. So you can say goodbye to your spreadsheets forever. You can access your full credit report and even get up to $100 cash in advance off your next paycheck when times are tough. And more than anything, though, Truebill is my new personal financial assistant. It does all the hard work to make sure I'm meeting my goals and, most importantly, staying in good financial health. So you can download it at the Apple app or the Google Play stores or at truebill.com/Wesley. So that's TRUEBILL.com/Wesley. And finances can be scary. Trust me, I know. I've been all over the board with them. But the truth is, they don't have to be. And Truebill can get you back on track within just a few minutes. So go to truebill.com/Wesley or straight to the Apple app or the Google Play stores and start taking control of your money today. Now, let's get back to the show.
That's something that I've always been passionate about and had a desire to do. And I just never believed in myself enough to be able to do that until I did it for myself. Because I'm very picky about what I'll even release.
So you're telling me that Dolphins is the first one that you did by yourself?
Yes.
What? Yeah. I have such a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
Because I saw you do it in like 4.5 minutes. You wrote a whole melody. Like, like legit wrote it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, I've been songwriting for a long time. So that's kind of second nature to me. But as far as creating a track, producing something that sounds legit, that's where I have lacked confidence. So that's what this whole last year has been about. You may have heard me say it at the show, but a good friend of mine told me about a year ago, if you had a black room that only you had access to, what would you put in it to be proud? And again, no one else has the key. So it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. All that matters is what, you know, you can hang on the wall to go in there and relish in it and be proud of that. And for me, that was a realization of, I don't want a YouTube million followers plaque necessarily. I don't want all these kind of fleeting things. But if I could produce my own album and have that plaque on the wall, no matter how many streams it gets, I would be so proud of myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And you did it.
I did it.
You already did it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to know. I always ask this. So knowing what you know about yourself now, what would you, if you could, tell your younger self? What's the best advice that you would go back to the you that maybe needed it the most? What would you say?
It's funny. I've like never shared this with anyone, but I had this when I was a kid. My mom came to me. And this is just the common theme of today for some reason. And it's just something that's been heavy on my mind. So she came, I did something like stupid or something. And she was like, it's never left my soul. But she was like, if you don't stop being so selfish, you're going to have a miserable life. Which is heavy.
Mom. Hell yeah. Mom, I'm a mom. I say that stuff to my kids. Their jobs as mom.
And hard to hear as a young child, or confusing or whatever it is, but
you're like, my mom's freaking mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I would just say, don't think about yourself so much. I have that tendency to do that. And the happiest times in my life and the most successful times in my life is when I have been focused elsewhere and on others. So I think that's the theme of today is what I would tell him to listen to this podcast is what I would do.
That's so cute. That is the best. Okay, Kenny, where on earth can people find you?
I'm on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else, TikTok even.
Is it Kenny Holland?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but your new album is Sunny.
Yes. I kind of created a new alias for this new project.
Really?
Yeah. As an attempt to kind of rebrand and this rebirth that you kind of talked about, like I wanted something fresh to start with. Mm-hmm. Because I have been in the game for so long and there has been so many twists and turns and ups and downs that I just wanted something like, I wanted to start from scratch.
It's kinda appropriate. You know, yeah. I think that it is like, you are new. Why not do something new? Oh my gosh. I cannot believe I forgot to ask this in the beginning. Can you explain to everybody why you named this album Dolphins?
Yes. Yes.
I loved this.
Yes. I got to give some love to my buddy Ryan, who told me this story, but he brought to my attention the fact that dolphins will circle sharks that are attacking seals or surfers in order to save them. So they'll scare the sharks away. And that the people in surrounding me in my life throughout this whole summer that has been magical and a real kind of step into my new self and coming out of the darkness and all this stuff just would not have been possible without the quote unquote dolphins in my life who are surrounding me, building me up, helping me believe in myself, telling me every day, bro, you don't understand what you're capable of. We see it, you don't. So all you need to do is see it and create it and do it. And so that's why I called the album Dolphins, because it would not have been possible without the people surrounding me and scaring the sharks in my life away.
We call that the A-team. Mm. That's what my family calls. There's the A-team.
Mm-hmm.
The supporters, the constants, that you can mess up, but really at the end of the day, you can do no wrong. Like, absolutely, there's no leaving.
Yes.
And I think everybody needs that. You need your little pack of dolphins.
Definitely.
You need your A-team.
Definitely.
I'm so happy you found yours.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that you're coming back online.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know what the future holds for you, but I know that being open and truthful, like, and vulnerable, like you're being right now,
mm-hmm.
this pays off tenfold.
Mm.
'Cause you're letting people in, you know? Like, I think that the album and this and sharing the things that you've been through that sometimes maybe we feel are shameful, mm-hmm. I think a little bit of honesty and a spotlight on those things, it's like magic.
Mm.
It diminishes all the negative feelings about it. Mm. And it almost just springs you forward into life. And I, honest to God, Kenny, cannot wait to see what's coming for you. I'm so excited for it. And I'm really grateful to you. I think you're just such a good guy. Really mean.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think the world of you, honestly. So I'm really grateful.
I tend to do this. I tend to like fall in love with people. And then I just am like, hey, you're mine forever. And now we're doing life. And I'll just like expect a Christmas card. Like, okay, now you're in until I'm 90.
Fine by me.
Okay, you guys. So you can find Kenny at Kenny Holland, basically everywhere. Instagram, YouTube. His new album is called Dolphins by Sunny.
That's right.
Okay. You are so lovely, my dear. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Peace.